Okay. I want to start actually where the study itself started, not at the beginning of this main parable. And I want to read Matthew 21, 23 to 27 first. Now when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" But Jesus answered and said to them, "I also will ask you one thing, which, if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men?" And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus and said, "We don't know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." And I think the biggest problem that the Pharisees and the religious leaders had is summed up in the middle of verse 25. It says, "And they reasoned among themselves." I think they shouldn't have done that. Because when we reason among ourselves, we very rarely come out with the truth. We come out more confused. And so we shouldn't reason among ourselves. We should go directly to God and to his word. So I want to talk about, read you some scriptures, first of all, on the authority of Jesus. These men had heard these things. They just didn't listen. Ephesians 1, 20 to 23. "This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand of in heavenly places. For above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Jesus had the authority given to him by God. John 14, 6 says this, "Jesus said to him, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me.'" Matthew 28, 18, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.'" And these men should have known the teaching in the Old Testament. And Isaiah 9, 6 says this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Philippians 2, 9 and 10. "Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." And one more, Colossians 2, 9 and 10. "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and powers." These are just a few verses. Many from that you could have taken from the Old Testament, many from the New, that verify the authority of Jesus. And it wasn't a secret, but the religious leaders and the Pharisees had not accepted it. They rejected it, if they even knew it was there. And little time is spent listening and believing. We spend too much time reasoning among ourselves rather than listening. And I'm kind of preaching to the choir this morning because you're here and you're listening and you come every week and you're getting into the Word of God. But I want you to guard yourself against not taking heed to the prophecies that are to come. These people, the Pharisees and the religious people, didn't know, or they didn't want to know, the authority of Jesus Christ. And therefore, they ignored the very clear word of God. Be sure you don't do that in what's coming. Jesus Christ is coming back again. He said it, and we can stake our lives on it. Don't let that authority make you, don't forget what he promised, because what he said to begin with, he fulfilled. What he stated that he's going to do, he will fulfill it. By the authority that is in him, given to him by God. And we must be careful that we don't reason so much among ourselves that we miss what he has in store for us. Matthew 21, 28 to 32 says this. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go, work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said, Likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of the Father? They said to him, the first. Jesus said to them, Assuredly, I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. Now, he didn't say they didn't go. He just said the people they criticized the most were going to go first. And so we have to be careful what we say. I think that the first son had a quick response, but he took the authority of the Father and did what he asked. The second son spoke well, but was disobedient. I used to, when I was little, there was a song. I will not sing it for you. You will be grateful for that. But what you are speaks so loud that the world can't hear what you say. They're looking at your walk, not listening to your talk. What you are speaks so loud that the world can't hear what you say. We are accountable for the words we speak, but it's the attitudes and the actions of our hearts that really show to the world who we are and who we serve and what authority we live under. If you're not willing to follow through on what you're saying, don't say it. I think one of the biggest complaints I hear from children who have grown up in the authority of their parents is the worst thing is a broken promise. We must be willing to follow through on what we say. And if we have the heart of Jesus, we will keep the promises we will make. And we will do and be obedient to his will. It doesn't matter whether we say yes or no. It's what we do. It's what actions follow. And if we have a broken promise, or we say something and don't fulfill it, then we're a liar. And that's a sin. And so the son who actually did what the father wanted was the obedient one. His conscience wouldn't allow him to do what he said. Actions speak louder than words. Now, I don't want to be harsh in this, because obviously there are some times when we think we're able to do something and there is an extenuating circumstance by which we... But if we generally as known to be a person of our word and we will follow through on what we said, then when there is an extenuating circumstance, nobody's going to question it. Nobody's going to wonder. They're going to say, oh, well, obviously she would have done it had she been able to. And so we must create a pattern in our lives of obedience. And then if we have to back off on something we promised we would do. There will be complete understanding and love in that. Matthew 21, 33 to 46. Hear another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower, and he leased it to vine dressers and went into a far country. Now when vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. And the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Then last of all, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance." So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? They said to him, "He will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will rend to him the fruit in their seasons." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder." Now, when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitudes because they took him for a prophet. The landowner represents God. He created the environment for the vineyard. He planted grapes. He built a wall for protection. He even dug out a pit for them to press the grapes into the juice. And he built a lookout tower also for protection. God himself did all of these things for us. He created a world for us to live in. He gave his word to protect us and save us. And he showed us how to live and made a way of salvation for us. If you look around at what God has created, it's so amazingly beautiful. We've destroyed much of it, but what he created and what is there, I think I was driving to the gym early one morning. That doesn't always happen, but I pulled out of the driveway and turned, and there was this huge, and it might have been this morning, huge moon just on the horizon. And it was very black other than that in my neighborhood, and I thought, God just did everything for us. He created an environment for us to live and grow, and not only did he do this as a part of his love and protection for us as people, but he did it for us as individuals. He created you and me and gave us everything. The word says he gave us everything for life and godliness. He didn't miss anything. When we reason among ourselves, sometimes we miss that. Or we get our focus off on things that aren't really important. Keep your focus on the important things and realize what God did for you. So the tenant farmers, the vineyard, the vine dressers, they represent Israel. When he sent people to get his portion of the vineyard, they beat one of them, they killed one of them, and they stoned one of them. He sent more people, and they did the same thing. It's an illustration of total rejection of the vine dresser's plan. We can move to our own scenario where Jesus Christ came. God sent his son, the heir to the estate, God himself, but he was rejected by the people he came to save because of self-centeredness and greed and lack of understanding the authority that was in him. He was killed. The rejection of authority brought death and loss to the landowner. The stone that the builders rejected has now become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing and is wonderful to see. That rejected stone, the chief cornerstone. If you fall on the cornerstone, you'll be broken. But that's not a bad thing. We have to be broken in order to be whole. We have to see that we are not the end in ourselves. We are just a vessel. And we're broken to begin with. And if we will fall before Jesus Christ, he will make us whole. He will become what we need so that we can become someone he can use. It's such a perfect plan, an unbelievably perfect, wonderful plan. And unfortunately, many people miss it. Brokenness is what I long for. Do we really? Sometimes we run away from it. It's hard to see ourselves as we really are because we're so full of cracks. We're so broken. But if we see it in the light of Jesus, ourselves and who he is, and forget about the greed and forget about the self-centeredness and allow him to be everything, then the whole plan becomes a perfect one. It's only our rejection that keeps the plan from being perfect. It really hits home in verse 45 when it says, "Now when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking of them." And it's like all of a sudden they went, "Oh my, he's talking about us." Jesus was speaking against them. They wanted to arrest him, but they were afraid. They didn't have any reason to arrest him, and they feared the crowds. It's not right to live in fear. And if we live in the light of who Jesus is and allow him to heal our brokenness, then we don't have to be afraid of anything. Because we are who he's called us to be. Ultimately, the murder that happened on the cross is described in Matthew 27, 32 to 44, just a few chapters later. It occurred because the religious leaders and the Pharisees wanted Jesus to be gone. And they didn't even know enough to realize that their own actions were the fulfillment of every prophecy that was ever spoken. They didn't even know enough to know they were fulfilling God's word and his prophecy. The prophets foretold a redeemer, but the pride and self-centeredness of the religious did not allow them to receive him and be broken. The ultimate rejection is to not recognize the chief cornerstone, but rest and trust in tradition and selfishness. Jesus went willingly to set the religious leaders free, but he also did it for you and me. And I just want to close with Psalm 118, 22 to 29. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. God is the Lord. And he has given us light. Can't read my own writing. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Be sure to stand in the authority of Jesus Christ and allow him to heal every broken piece, and you will be totally ready for whatever he has for you this afternoon or tomorrow or next year or whatever. You will be ready if you stand in the presence of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, that you are God and that you have given us everything we need for life and godliness. We are so grateful that you heal and that we can be whole. Help us, Lord, to trust you more and to allow you in to do the work you need to do in each of our lives. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.